matter what people say. We got it going on. Who cares about what they did?
You know me, I'm the hottest in the
scene. WJMS. This is According to RP.
Turn up the volume, kick back, and get raw with us.
From the latest hip hop beefs to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. So it is Sunday, March 21st. It marks the first official day of spring. Today was such a beautiful and warm day in New York City. I can only hope that this amazing weather continues. But for those of you who live in New York and in the eastern, you know, northern eastern region, you know that we are not really in spring. We are in sprinter, because any day now we can have a winter storm. I'm hoping that's not the case, and I'm hoping Mother Nature cuts us a break with everything that we've been through, but it remains to be seen. I'm not going to hold my breath. Either way, we are still in the thick of Women's History Month. I am still excited to continue to showcase phenomenal Black women on the Black Ivy Media platform. We have 10 more days before the month is over. I encourage you all to follow us at Black Ivy Media. We are featuring some amazing everyday women who are doing amazing things in our community. Just a reminder, Black Ivy Media is having a panel discussion on Black maternal health this Tuesday. So this Tuesday, March 23rd at 7 p.m., it will be a live stream panel streamed from Facebook Live and YouTube. Just follow us at Black Ivy Media. We have an amazing panel put together. We have Tamar Innocent, who is a women's health and wellness coach and doula from Brooklyn. We have Dr. Linda Burke, who is a board certified OBGYN. And we have the amazing Shawnee Benton Gibson, who is a psychotherapist, but more importantly, a maternal health advocate, who is going to share her story of how she lost her daughter, who was 30 years old, to complications postpartum. And so this is going to be a very, very powerful discussion. You do not want to miss it. So please, Tuesday, March 23rd, 7 p.m., it will be live streamed on Facebook and YouTube. You all will be able to even comment and share questions in the comment section live for all to see. So please, please be part of this important conversation. We need to raise awareness to this issue that is killing our Black women. We have to raise awareness. So be part of the conversation so you can be part of the change. Today, we have an amazing, amazing guest by the name of council member Farrah N. Lewis from the 45th District in New York. We are going to talk about Black women in politics and what you don't know about the process. I think a lot of times people, they see Black women rise to power in Black communities and think that, oh, everything is great. They have the full support. They are, you know, well on their way. And it's not exactly what you think. It's a hard road. And I don't want to give too much, because Farrah and I, you know, we go into discussion, some deep discussion about this particular topic. But outside of talking about the plight of Black women in politics, we're going to talk about her upcoming race, because there is an election coming up. And we're going to talk about the amazing things that her and her team have done to advance women in our community, because it's Women's History Month and we want to shine light on women who are doing amazing things. And we want to talk about some of the initiatives that council member Farrah N. Lewis and her staff have been putting together specifically geared toward empowering women. So you want to keep it locked. You want to stay tuned. You want to stay here for the meat of the show. But before we get into that, you know we have our preliminaries. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
Hop in my fleek, you lit.
And it's going to be lit.
Major key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is nice drip. Nice drip, when you got that sauce that's looking extra fire. Example, ayo, my homie Scott got real nice drip with this Louis Vuitton, bruh. Damn, homie, his fit is fire as hell. So the reason nice drip is part of the vocabulary for this week is because I know that the stimmy has dropped in many, many of you all's accounts. I know this because some of you told me that you took a trip to the sneaker store this week. The stimmy dropped. Many of y'all went to the sneaker store. Many of y'all went to your local malls. A lot of you are probably ordering stuff on Amazon because summer is coming and it looks like the virus has slowed down a little bit. So many of you are already planning on what your summer on the outside is going to be like. And we've been inside for so long that we need nice drip, right? We need new clothing. We need a new style to be out here styling and profiling in these streets. So nice drip, that's the word of the week. Wanted to empower you guys with some useful words. The kids are still using drip, by the way. So this is not a word that's not, usually Urban Dictionary gives us words and we're kind of scratching our heads like, when will we ever use this? Nice drip is not one of those words. Nice drip is actually a term currently being used by the kids in the street. So if you want to be hip, use the term nice drip the next time, you know, you're encountered with some of these young people, and let them know that you're in the know. It is now time for our Haitian Creole word or phrase of the week. This week's Haitian Creole word or phrase is al chita. Al chita means go sit down. So you could actually use the word chita to mean sit. So chita means sit. But if you want to tell somebody, go sit down, or like how people are like, girl bye, boy bye, the Haitian equivalent is al chita. So al chita, go sit down. or I guess have several seats. See, there's many ways that you can, you know, make this a thing. But al chita is essentially go sit down, have several seats, boy bye, girl bye. You're welcome. So it is now time for my favorite part of the show. It's now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. Can you feel big up, big up? All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. So this week's big up of the week goes to Samia Suluhu Hassan, who was the vice president of Tanzania, but is now being sworn in as the country's first female president. For those of you who do not know where Tanzania is, it is in Africa. This is amazing, especially that it's happening in Women's History Month, because this is international women's history happening right here, right? Unfortunately, the former president, a man, died. Unfortunately, he died. So that paved the way for Samia Suluhu Hassan to enter into the ranks of president, making her again the first female president of Tanzania. So what was really cool about this is that Hassan took the oath at the State House in the city of Dar es Salaam in a televised ceremony on state TV, and she had her hijab and her face covering on while doing it. So big up to you, President Suluhu Hassan, and I hope that great things come out of your presidency, because a lot of times when, you know, women rise to certain levels of power in politics, especially, people are waiting for them to like fall and crumble. So I am looking forward to hearing the amazing things and the transformative things that President Hassan is going to do for the country of Tanzania. So with every high, you guys know that there is a low. And this week's Womp Womp of the Week goes to Captain Jay Baker. Now, I know a lot of people have made commentary on Captain Jay Baker from Atlanta, Georgia. Atlanta, Georgia is always in the news for some tomfoolery. I mean, it's the South, so I guess I don't know what I expected. But either way, so I know many of you are aware of the tragedy that took place in Atlanta, Georgia, not too long ago, where this vigilante, this domestic terrorist shot up a spa, killing, I believe it was about 8 people of Asian descent. And so from that incident, it sparked a whole movement with the hashtag Stop Asian Hate. And so we've seen many people from many different groups, backgrounds, creeds come together to stand in solidarity with the Asian community and to really speak out against the hate. And I guess shining light to the racism that people of Asian descent have been experiencing for a very, very long time. So why is Captain Jay Baker the Womp Womp of the Week? Well, he was being a white supremacist and he was being a racist, right? Which is usually, I mean, I don't know, it's typical of law enforcement in these particular states. So I'm not really shocked, but at the end of the day, what he said was just very painful. And I could imagine how the Asian community, you know, took this, right? So during a press conference, Captain Jay Baker stated that the murderer, Robert Aaron Long, was just having a bad day. Yeah, he was having a bad day. That's what he characterized the murderer, Robert Aaron Long's state of mind to be. He also went on to say that there was no racist motivation for what the murderer, Robert Aaron Long, did, even though there are reports that stated that the murderer, Robert Aaron Long, yelled out, "I am going to kill all Asians," before opening fire at the location. The captain went on further to state that the spa has been a temptation for the murderer, Robert Aaron Long, that he wanted to eliminate, and that Robert Aaron Long was at the end of his rope when he carried out the attacks. First of all, sir, Captain Jay Baker, is the murderer Robert Aaron Long your nephew, your cousin, your kinfolk? Because this is something that I feel like a family member who's trying to justify the actions of their wayward kinfolk would say, right? It's very interesting to me the lengths that, you know, people in law enforcement go to justify the acts of killers. I don't know if you guys remember the white kid that shot up the church and was taken out nicely and peacefully and brought to Burger King because he was hungry. Like, it really boggles my mind sometimes. But then I have to sit back and say, Rita, why? Why is your mind boggled? This is white supremacy at its finest. These institutions, aka law enforcement establishments and whatnot, are really extensions, for the most part, of the KKK, right? And other white supremacist organizations. Why am I shocked? This man, this murderer, shot up a spa and killed, I believe, 8. I don't know if there were 9 people altogether in the spa, but the reports that I've been reading are saying 8 individuals have been murdered at the hands of this white man. And the captain comes out and says that this guy, the murderer, was having a bad day and that the spa was a source of temptation for him. Are you kidding me? Like, I don't understand. Like, you know, it's the emboldened nature for me, right? It's the fact that he was bold enough to just come out and say this as if it was okay. And this is what's dangerous. And this is what people are not understanding. these acts by, you know, law enforcement and other white supremacists, like these actions is exactly why racism is not a dead topic. People love to believe that racism is a thing of the past, even after all of the things that have happened. Even after like the racial reckoning that has taken place, people are still delusional enough to think that race is some sort of like fictional construct. Like it's no longer an issue. How is it that a captain, a law enforcement official who is supposed to protect and serve all, how is it that he can come out and say that this individual who is not an alleged suspect, because they keep calling him a suspect, like he is the murderer, like it's known now, he admitted it, that this individual, this murderer, killed in cold blood 8 individuals, and you're saying that this was just, he had a bad day? And then you're saying that the spa was a temptation for him? No, you got to be kidding me. So for those reasons alone, Captain J. Baker is the womp womp of the week. So we are moving on now to a more positive segment of the show. It is now time for the meat of the show. All right, everyone, I'm here with my very special guest, Councilwoman Farrah N. Lewis. Farrah, say hello.
Hello, everyone. This is Councilmember Farrah Lewis. Thank you for having me on.
You're welcome. I realized that I was like, wait a minute, you know, although we're friends, I still have to address you when I'm speaking to the public with the full title and everything. So.
No worries.
Yeah, so I just realized that you actually have, this is your first time on the According to RP platform.
Yes, and I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. I feel honored to be a part of this show tonight.
Yeah, no, I was sitting here, I'm like, how has this happened? But because you've been on Frida's World twice.
Yes.
So I kind of thought that, I just didn't even realize that you haven't been on According to RP. But yes, thank you so much for making the time, because I know you are a busy, 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 busy woman.
Trying to be like you.
Well, you know. So, Farrah, there are many people who do know who you are, but then there are also many people who have no idea who you are. So tell the people who you are, where you're from, and what you do.
So I am Councilmember Farrah Lewis. I represent the 45th Council District in Brooklyn. Those neighborhoods encompass Flatbush, East Flatbush, Midwood, Flatland, Marine Park, and Kensington, and a little bit of Canarsie. I'm also the co-chair of the Women's Caucus for the City Council. I am a Brooklyn girl. They coined me the Flatbush girl. I represent a large portion of Flatbush. I'm a legislator, a community advocate, and a progressive woman seeking to deliver resources to her community by introducing bills, holding agencies accountable, and working really hard to support the community however I can.
All right. Now, that sounds like a lot of stuff.
It sure is.
It sounds like a lot. So I definitely want to get into, you know, what it's like being a Black woman politician in this day and age. But since it's Women's History Month, I want to ask you, to name a woman in history that has inspired you and why?
So happy you asked me that question. March is Women's History Month, a very important month for our country, our people, for women. Every day is Women's History Month.
Yep.
So we should acknowledge, celebrate, and give kudos to women every day. But in regards to a woman that inspired me and empowers me, my mom is the biggest example, I could say, of inspiration and motivation. She's the one that taught me how to be an advocate, how to fight for my rights, and just how to just speak up for myself. But there is a myriad of women that have supported me, inspired me, and women that I look up to. And I would say it's a lot of women in the faith-based community in Brooklyn that have inspired me through the years. So it's not just one woman. It's a myriad of women. Pastor Diane St. Seren, who is my pastor, and who I learned a lot from. Pastor Lynn Menard, which is my oldest sister. Pastor Natasha Chloe from the community is like a spiritual mentor to me. Marie from C2C, she's another one that inspires me all the time. And if we could talk about historical figures, definitely Michelle Obama, Shirley Chisholm, who tells us all the time to bring a chair to the table, even if they don't, you know, invite you there. There's so many different women in history that I could say that inspired me and gave me the opportunity to just stand up for myself. So not just one, all of them.
You know, that's a really, really great answer, because I think that it stumps people sometimes when you tell them one person. Mm-hmm. And they're just like, oh man, who can I find? Who can I find? But I think that it really is a collective, right?
Right.
Especially as we're navigating womanhood. Like, there were so many different women that touch you at different points in your, right, in your womanhood journey. So right, I love the fact that you were able to kind of, you know, you started with your mother, which obviously, you know, you got, mommy has to be first, right?
Always.
Has to be first. But that you went on to talk about, you know, some of the faith leaders, the women faith leaders, right? Because there was a time where women were not acknowledged as really being like faith leaders, like pastors and whatnot.
Right.
So I think that even of itself is just showing like how far we've come as a community and as a country when it comes to women, even in the right, faith-based field. So I really like that. So anybody who's followed your race knows that, you know, you have definitely overcome obstacles, and that's probably even an understatement.
That's an understatement, young lady.
An understatement, you know. But so for those of you again who do not know who council member Farrah N. Lewis is, Google her and you will be able to take a little trip down memory lane as to what her political journey looked like, right?
Right.
I think it's definitely one for the books, and one, I think there should be a study.
Oh, there will be.
Because it was quite interesting. So I feel like you are probably the perfect person to just talk about what it is to be a Black woman in politics, because mm-hmm, you really went through the ringer to get to where you are now. So tell us a little bit about what it is like to be, or what it's been like and what it's like currently to be a Black woman in politics.
So I'll be honest with you, I never had the intention to run for office. I was never interested in running for office. I often share with people in different spaces in my community that I always wanted to be the next Oprah. I wanted to tell people's stories. I wanted to, you know, be on the front lines in Afghanistan and Palestine and these different places to tell these stories. And that didn't quite happen. I think God had another plan for me, and I made it here. It's been quite the journey, not what I expected. Everything opposite of what I thought I would be experiencing as a young Black woman in Brooklyn. We live in a very progressive and awesome borough and city, and I'm experiencing everything opposite of what, you know, people would think or believe or fathom about being a Black woman in politics. We see Vice President Kamala Harris on TV, Michelle Obama. They look phenomenal. They look great. They look like they all put together. Mm-hmm. But in the background, you don't know what's happening. You don't know the chaos. You don't know the breakdowns. You don't know the mental health crises. You don't know the national crises that people are going through. So being a Black woman in politics right here in Brooklyn has been quite challenging. It's been frustrating, yet rewarding. Having to deal with bigotry within the own body that I represent, as well as within my community. People that do not look like me hate me at times and make it known has been quite challenging. The colorism issue between Black women in politics, being a dark-skinned woman in politics, has been quite the challenge. The jealousy that happens amongst women has been really critical in my mental health, and understanding how this thing works. And not having the support, the mentorship that I thought I would probably have being a part of this fraternity now of women in politics has been completely absent. No one will take the time to mentor and support. And for those that do, they don't look like me. They don't look like me at all. The ones that will give me 5 minutes do not look like me, but they'll give me those 5 minutes because they know it's hard. So I find that Black women in politics are underrepresented in committees as well. I find that we're not in the spaces that we want to be in or where we feel that we could resonate. While I'm not an attorney, I have a master's degree. I'm not an attorney. I don't have some of the credentials that some other members may have. It doesn't matter. We're not on land use. We're not on, on particular committees to be able to speak our voice to support our communities. So we're not taken seriously all the time. It's unequal treatment. And it's very unfortunate. However, there's an opportunity here for someone like myself to partner with other Black young women who may be coming into the council and into politics to fight for what we need. But at the present time, it's been quite challenging to be a Black young woman in politics, but I believe that will change.
Okay. Yeah, it's interesting that you say all these things because I don't think people really understand what it really takes to even, you know, even say that I'm going to run. Right. I think sometimes people think that, oh, you know, like, yeah, just do it, just do it, just do it.
But and then they don't support.
And then, the, yeah.
they don't, Black women are known to have the hardest time raising money or getting the support or even getting an endorsement. I'm an incumbent and I have a hard time getting an endorsement from a citywide elected official.
Yeah.
It's difficult.
It's crazy. But I hope, you know, that things will get better. And I hope that more Black women come out for these roles, right? I think that, like you said, there is a shortage. It's funny, when you live in certain neighborhoods, you might not see that, right? You might see like, oh no, there's Black people in politics all over the place. What are they talking about? But in the grand scheme of things, the percentage is actually pretty low.
Right.
So I do hope that, you know, in the years to come, that more Black women do step up, right? And say, you know, whether it's city council, whether it's assembly, whether it's district leader, even, there's so many different political positions that women can hold, you know, within their communities to make the change that, you know, like that you're trying to get, right?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah. It's disheartening, though, to hear that there's such a lack of mentorship and such a lack of support, because when you have dynamic women who are here and ready to really hit the streets running and there's no support, it's discouraging.
Right.
So how do you deal with that discouragement, really?
I'm still learning, to be quite honest. I could let it harbor my feelings and my thoughts and my days, but I don't. If I reach out to someone and they're willing to lend the support, I take it. Most of the women that do respond to me do not look like me. And I find it that, it's sad to say, it's mostly men that support me, that don't look like me, that, you know, have different religions opposite of what I believe, that will take 5 minutes to say, you know, this is how you support this particular bill. This is how you fight for this particular thing. And I take the support wherever I could get it. I'm a very independent person. And sometimes there are women in politics that'll say, oh, why are you working with that white person or that white man? He gave me 5 minutes to help me understand what I'm doing so I could deliver for my district. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. But what I do believe that, you know, a new day will come where women will rise up, stand up, Black women in particular, and not be bystanders and haters and disrespectful to one another or try to grandstand on another woman and say, you know what, sister, come, let me carry you along. Let me bring you to where you need to be so that we don't cower and we don't disrespect one another we really support one another, because that's what this is really about. How do you deliver back for Black and brown communities?
Yeah. And I like the realness of this, because I think that, you know, yes, we're moving forward as a people. We're moving forward as a group, right? Of Black women. We're trying to do better. We're trying to be more supportive of each other. But I think that in all of that, we've kind of got, you know, we've kind of got it twisted a little bit in thinking right. that like there's so many women empowerment movements. I think people believe that we are all empowered and that we're all singing Kumbaya and holding each other's hands, but there's still a lot of work to do. And that's right. why, you know, I'm actually happy that we're having this conversation, because, you know, the reality is we still have so much work to do. Let's not get it twisted. These women right. empowerment events and groups and all these 501c3s. Yeah, it's great, but it's still not really getting us to where we need to get. Like, the problem has not been fixed.
Exactly.
We still need to help each other out. There's still a lot of distrust amongst us as women of as Black women. So I know you mentioned that you are on the committee. Is it for Women's Caucus?
Right. Co-chair of the Women's Caucus.
All right. Great. So I do want to get into, you know, so what are some of the ways that you are advancing women in your role? Because we recognize that there is a lack of support, right? Particularly right. in the political realm when it comes to Black women. But right. in your role and acknowledging the fact that, you know, there is this lack, how are you advancing women? Like, what are some of the initiatives that your office is undertaking in order to really create pathways and create support for women?
So one thing that's really good about the Women's Caucus is that the speaker gives us an opportunity to fund organizations, nonprofit organizations ran by women, supported by women, and carried out by women. And we fund nonprofit organizations with citywide, but particularly within our communities, that carry out a mission that support women in different capacities. One thing that I've been tackling for the last year and a half that I've been in the council is Black maternal mortality and morbidity, and funding organizations that support providing services to Black women. One thing that we've learned over the year and a half, my year and a half, but the women in the caucus have been fighting for a long time, is that Black women, Black birthing women that go into health facilities seeking to have their baby often die or lose their babies because they don't have doulas, they don't have midwives, and they're often mistreated because they think that Black women are strong. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we don't experience or feel pain that other women may feel. And we're combating that through legislation, through the Women's Caucus, pay parity. Women are still being underpaid, disrespected, and devalued. So we support organizations and initiatives that promote pay parity in different agencies and different capacities and industries. Gender equity is something else that we're supporting, and supporting our young girls, giving them quality education. My office in general, I like to fund nonprofit organizations ran by women because some of their missions fit what's happening in my district. Mm. So if they're supporting young women to become entrepreneurs, like Yandy Smith is an I support her organization. She comes into my district and supports young women that are trying to become entrepreneurs, and they have really great businesses that they're starting, whether if it's a wig making business or they do eyebrows or eyelashes. One young girl, her organization is called Kayante's Kitchen, where she makes these really good pastries and things, and we support it. That's something I want to continue to do despite the pandemic. I think there's an opportunity there for us to continue to support young women.
Okay. And I like that, because I think oftentimes we do forget the youth, right, in the communities. And we focus on, you know, I guess the more established in a sense. But I love the fact that we're pouring into the young people. And we're seeing that, you know, young women, you know, are starting businesses like, you know, 14, 15, 16.
Right.
And I think that is beautiful. I think that is great. So now we're heading into an election season, mm-hmm. right? I mean, we were just talking about the roller coaster election, you know, process that you had to go through. And now we're faced again with election, right? So, right. You know, for the people who are living in the 45th district who don't know you, mm-hmm. why should they vote for you?
Well, I grew up in this district. I know where every pothole is. I know where there's every issue within the district. And I want to continue to support my community. I ran in 2019 on a special, a Democratic primary and a general. A year and a half later, I'm back here again, supporting my community in various capacities. During the pandemic, I opened over 22 pantries in the district because I recognize that we have a food insecurity problem. And making people feel comfortable to get on the line to get food, making them feel comfortable, giving them PPE, asking them how's their day, because it's not easy to get a free resource, mm-hmm. right? Some people feel very uncomfortable about that. And I know where they hold the purse in City Hall. Not everybody that's running can do that. I was able to get the mayor to give over $60 million within a year and a half to create a recreational center in our district for young people, young adults, as well as seniors to receive programming. This will be the first recreation center in East Flatbush in District 45 ever created. And I need to be there to make sure that we carry that out. I supported the first supportive senior housing in the district that's actually going to be opening up in late April for seniors, 100% affordable housing. And I'm working on a second project, 100% affordable housing. And I'm fighting for the first healthcare facility for our district for women, because we need the support. I believe that everything starts with the woman, starts with our mental health, and starts with us supporting one another so that the children that we birth into this world get the support that they need. I provide wraparound services. I help constituents in various capacities. And I'm a diehard District 45 resident that knows that without true leadership, problem solving, and solution-oriented results, we will not get to where we need to be as a district. So I'm hoping to get everybody's support so I could continue the work. And as we recover, you know, I'm going to continue to fight as hard as I can for every part of the district.
All right. And, you know, again, for those people who are not really familiar with you, I mean, I've known you for a very long time. So even before you were a politician, you were out here in the community doing, you know, doing what you needed to do to provide support, right, for those who did not have that support. But, you know, Google is at everybody's fingertips. So I always tell people, you know, if you don't have to take my word for it, Google, right, and you'll be able to see all of the positive things that, you know, Farrah has done in the community. And again, not just starting in 2019, but even way before, all the things that you've been doing in the community and different empowerment movements that you've been setting. I think I remember when I first met you, this was a long time ago, but I remember when you were part of Beltifi, which was a women empowerment organization. And at that time, women empowerment wasn't even a thing, really, right? There weren't any organizations that were doing women empowerment things. And right. I don't even know if we were even calling that organization a women empowerment organization, but we know that it was, you know, a group of women who were before their time, you know, creating events, creating initiatives to support young Black women in the community.
Right.
And so, you know, and then from there, there's been a variety of different initiatives that you've pushed. Again, not even in the political world, or even planting the seed to become a politician. Right. Because, you know, a lot of times people do things to set the stage. Mm-hmm. But we're talking about like way over 10 years ago. Right. When all of these things were taking place. So I definitely encourage, you know, for those people who are tuning in, who have no idea who Farrah is, to do a little Google search, see what she's done, and, you know, and follow her, right? Follow you to find out what it is that you're up to, right? Because I think people who follow you on social media, at least, will be able to say that, yeah, she's pretty active. She's all over the place.
A little too active. But I love it.
But you love it. You love it. So many might be saying, wow, like this woman is on fire. How can I be a part of this movement? How can I help her campaign? So how could somebody help you out?
First things first, they should definitely log onto our website, farahlewis.com, and reach out. What we really need help with is volunteers to help support the campaign. Right now we're going through a pandemic, so it's very hard to knock on doors. So social media is the platform that we're relying on to get out our information. So we need volunteers to help make phone calls, to support us on social media, and to help us in their personal networks to share the information, to share the platform and what we're going to continue to do. So that is how most folks can be supportive at the moment.
Okay. So speaking of social media, how can we find you on social media?
Definitely have two handles that I utilize on Instagram and Twitter and on Facebook. My council Twitter handle is CM, that's council member Farah Lewis. And my personal is Farah N. Lewis. That's on Instagram and on Twitter, and on Facebook it's Farah Lewis or CM Farah Lewis. And we would love if folks could follow us, support us, like our page. That's when you'll receive more information about all the work that we're doing in the district, in the community. And if folks want to sign up get some services from the office, we're open virtually. We're not physically open, but we're open Monday through Friday from 10 to 5. We do Google Meet, Zoom, WebEx, FaceTime, but we provide services despite the pandemic. We know that people need services, and we'll even come to your door if that's helpful for folks as well.
Okay. And so for those who might wonder, how do you spell that? Because, you know, Lewis can be spelled a couple of ways. Right. Could you go ahead and spell out Farah Lewis for everyone?
Yes. So my handles is at CM Farah is F like Frank, A-R-A-H, Lewis, L-O-U-I-S, and Farah, N-L-O-U-I-S, is both of the handles that folks can follow. And I would really appreciate it if folks could like our page.
All right, cool. And so Farah, when's the election? When should people, you know, get out and vote?
Democratic primary is June 22nd, 2021. There's something called early voting that'll start 8 days in advance of the vote. So if folks can go out and vote early, great. But if you want to wait for primary day, June 22nd is that date where you could come out and vote.
All right, great. Well, Farah, thank you so much for taking the time and gracing the According to RP show for the first time. I feel like it's shame on me because I'm like, how is this possible? This show's been going on for about 3 years now.
But I'm very happy that you asked me to be on. I thank you for supporting Women's Her Story Month and having these conversations with phenomenal women from the community. And I hope to be back soon.
Of course. But you know what? Before we end, I do recall that you have an event coming up this month of March, as you said, Women's Her Story.
I have several events coming up. On March 25th, we have a women's wellness check-in where we're supporting women in our community who are coping with COVID and having a conversation about, you know, what steps and measures folks have been taking to cope with COVID. We're having that conversation with the mental health counselor and Talagran Kajesti. On March 29th, we're partnering with the mayor's office and Thrive NYC for a COVID town hall to inform the community about the three vaccines, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, the efficacy rates on all three, and what folks should be thinking about, and kind of like demasking the myths about the vaccine and finding ways to get support and the benefits to test and trace and why that's important. And last but not least, March 31st is our first annual Women's History Month event. It's called Women of Distinction Awards, where we'll be honoring about seven women from our community who have been really laser focused on social justice in our community during our racial reckoning movement last year, as well as all the work that they've been doing in the course of their journey. So I look forward to all three and hope everybody could tune in and you know, support.
All right. And so, again, amazing events that are coming out of Council Member Farrah Lewis's office. So if you want to, you know, be in tune as to when these things are actually taking place, follow her on social media. She gave you her handles twice. So there should be no excuses. But again, Farrah, thank you so much for taking the time, because I know you're a very, very busy woman coming on the show, talking to the people about, again, who you are, what it is that you do, even breaking down the process a little bit, and really just, you know, showing how important it is to, I guess, focus on women, right?
Right.
I think that the, you know, we see all these movements, they're going great, but on the, in the political side, right? That
right.
There's actually action being taken to support not just, you know, women, but young girls who are, you know, wanting to do great things, and acknowledging that they also have a voice and they also have abilities to become great even at their young age. So
right.
Thank you so much for all you do. Thank you for taking the time to be on the show.
Thank you for having me. According to RP, I'm so appreciative.
You're welcome. And everyone, thank you again for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio, powered by Black Ivy Media. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday. Can't wait to come back.